the basic pattern or whatever, so I guess we're all good with this. Before we get started, I do want to say a couple things. I want to say, first of all, yesterday we had game night, and it was fantastic. However, getting here was kind of a shock because we were driving, and we finally got here, and I saw Blake. He happened to be walking out, and he just had this big smile on his face, but he's been letting me borrow this Downton Abbey, all right? And so I'm watching this, and I come up to him, and I try to talk British to him and say, like, good day or something to him, and, you know, just messing around, not paying attention to every surrounding around me because I'm just focused on that one thing. Well, as we walk in, and I told Meredith this the other day, I said, I know that he was walking in front of me, and then all of a sudden, when we came up to these chairs, he crossed over and then kind of let me go through the chairs. I just thought it was because he didn't think he could make it through. And for some reason, it didn't dawn on me anything. You know, at this point, I'm still like, okay, well, whatever. You know, I'm here for game night. I go to open the door, and I see all these people staring at me as I open the door, which, you know, the door's usually closed, so so the kids stay in there anyway. So that was not a shock. But when I open the door, everybody's got, like, cameras and stuff pointing at me, and I just closed the door. Because I felt like I was going to get, like, pelted with, like, water balloons or something and, like, you know, like, pranks on you or something. I didn't know what was going on. And so then I hear my mom's name. She goes, Jared Reeves. And of course, you know, that's usually the bad sign, but this one was all right. So I opened back up the door, and I realized it was a surprise birthday party, which is very interesting considering my birthday is May 10th. And so today's May 1st, so you can kind of see my confusion. But it was an awesome surprise party, so I want to thank you for, if you were able to make it out and have play games and enjoy free pizza and birthday cake, which I personally appreciate the Dairy Queen for making those ice cream cakes, so fantastic. But it got me thinking a couple of things. Of course, I was already thinking about it anyway. But I guess if you had to title something, you know, I'm not always big on titles, but getting God's undivided attention. Sometimes, we can get into a part where we shock people, and obviously that gets their attention. Sometimes they're afraid of that attention. But sometimes, you know, doors sometimes are closed, right, from God's point of view. We try to do something and we realize, well, that's not going to work out, you know. And so when we see a door closed, you know, I guess somebody always says, well, there's a window open. I mean, I don't know why it has to be a window. Why couldn't it be like double doors, you know, something a whole lot easier to get through? It's always got to be something smaller. It's like, why does it have to be that? Why can't God be like, oh, well, here's two grand open doors right here, you know? I like to think that it's a better place to go, not something that you have to really squeeze through. It's just going to be, like, much bigger, much more grander. But God sometimes has to work to get our attention as well. You know, I can think of different things, but one of the things that I want to go to is Ezekiel chapter 12. Real quick. Ezekiel chapter 12, if I can find it, where'd it go? There, okay. It's chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, the Son of Man, you dwell in the midst of the rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not, and ears to hear, but do not hear, and for they are a rebellious house. And so he's basically saying we have all these abilities to see, we have the abilities to hear, but we don't. We're not doing it. And so, are we paying attention? As a congregation, you know, as Christians, do we pay attention to what God's trying to tell us? And I would like to say, sometimes, in my own personal life, I would love to say, oh yeah, I pay attention. I know everything what God's trying to get across to me. But I can't say that for sure. Sometimes I feel like I may have missed something. Sometimes I may think that he's showing me something that is really not there. Sometimes I just get distracted of my own personal desires and don't really look for what I think he's showing me, but really what he is showing me is something different. And so we got to learn to be paying attention. So what would you say distracts us? So I would go back to 1 Samuel, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 13, and it says that it was the custom of the priest with the people was that when a man offered a sacrifice, that the priest's servants would come while the meat was boiling and a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan and the kettle or the cauldron or the pot. And all that the fork brought up to the priest would take for himself, and that this they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat to the priest so they can roast it, for he will not be accepted boiled meat, but only raw." And if you say to the man, "Well, let then the fat first, and then take as much as you wish." And he said, "No, you must give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus, the sin of the young man was very great in the sight of the Lord, and the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. And Samuel was ministering before God, a boy clothed in a linen ephod, and he and his mother used it for him to make a robe and to take him into each year when he went up to the husband to sacrifice the yearly sacrifice. And Eli was blessed, and Enihan and his wife said, "Well, may the Lord give you children, and by this woman for petition, for she asked of the Lord." And so then they would return home. And indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons, two daughters, and a boy named Samuel who grew in the presence of the Lord. Now, right before we get to the next little part, because it goes all the way through 24, I want to kind of set it up for you. As you can see, we can see that the different types of things that we're already walking into, the sacrifice of being burnt and how they were supposed to be doing it a certain way, and then they were kind of arguing back and forth. However, we see here that that Eli was trying to bless him and the Lord to give him these children. And the Lord did visit Hannah, and then she conceived three sons, okay? So that's what we got so far. Then it says in verse 22, it says, "Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing that all his sons were doing in Israel, and how they laid with the women who were serving at the entrance to these tents of meetings. And he said to him, 'Why do you do such things? For I hear that the evil dwellings from all these people. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad. And if someone sins against a man, God will meditate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?' But they did not listen to the voice of their father, for it was the will of the Lord to put them to death." Now, what would you say would be a distraction to him? I mean, obviously, you know, in this case, it was women, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, "Oh, look, women were terrible." That's not what I'm saying. Please don't say that. I'm married. It would not go over well for me either. So, but I am saying that the devil works in mysterious ways. It's almost similar to how God would. Obviously, God works in good, mysterious ways. The devil likes to kind of like do illusions. He likes to put things in front of us that tempt us, that put us through trials. And so here we can see that Eli's sons were evil, and that Eli had not really had been listening to God, and Eli should have pretty much disciplined his sons. I mean, he kind of knew about it, but he ended up that they passed on. The Lord took their lives. And so I would say, you know, in some regards, that we need to be paying attention around us, not only for our own families, but also for the church family. If we see somebody that's kind of going down the wrong path, wouldn't it be awesome just to be like, "Hey, I understand that, you know, sin is kind of gets on to us, and we don't want to give the devil a foothold. Let's work through this together, and hopefully we can overcome this." Because it's a whole lot easier to get out of a bad area when there's more than just one person. You know, I always get told a lot, "Well, Jared, you're digging a hole." All right, I don't know where people say that for me, though, but I tend to do that, I guess. And so it'd be a whole lot easier if I was supposedly in a hole, and there'd be a couple of people there, because if you get a couple of people, you could get yourself out a whole lot easier. You could stack each other up on until they get out to the ground, and then they could reach in and pull everybody out, right? Or at least go and run and get a ladder and get some help. The more that we're together, the easier it is to get out of these bad areas, okay? Especially more so than when it's just by yourself. Now, you can also see Eli was actually that he did love his sons, but he loved them more than God. And so sometimes we get distracted for the love of our own families. And I think that is personal cord sometimes. When we get so distracted in our own families that we put them first before God, we kind of are doing what God asked us not to do. In fact, he said that following Christ sometimes will divide us a brother against brother and father against mother and all these different divisions of what it could cause. But then he says you'll receive tenfold back. You know, we know that when we come here as a family, you know, you may be the only one of your bloodline, so to say, to be here. But you also have tons of family. I mean, Papa acts like a father to most of us. You know, he's always giving us advice and you know, just giving us some kind of enjoyment of just shaking your hand, just saying you're glad you're here. And, you know, obviously Judy acts as a mother for us all because she gives us tons of emails and text messages and obviously tricks people into thinking that it's a game night when it's really a surprise birthday party. I mean, she's just great at it. So, you know, we have this family it's much bigger and grander than just one single bloodline. It expands. It's beautiful to have all these brothers and sisters here gathered here today. And it's just a beautiful sight. But it's different when you put these people first instead of God. And so when we put God first, this family works as it should. Let's see. If we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, I know I got some scripture here, but I'm a slow turner anyway on this phone, so hopefully you can get there just about as fast as me. If you want to go to Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 7, and it says, "And proclaim as you go, saying that the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You will receive without pain, and give without pay." You know, I would say that we're waiting and wanting to hear. We want to know about the proclaiming of the kingdom of heaven, and that it is here. You know, for those that do listen to what God has to say, that's an awesome, awesome thing. Because not only now are we getting closer to where God wants us to be, always having this heavenly mindset. In fact, I think in Matthew chapter 7, around verse 30, he says something about, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, we need to think of these things above, these heavenly things. We need to know more of where we need to be located at, which is in God's plan and in His thoughts, and surround ourselves with such and meditate on it daily. And so here we need to know what we're wanting to hear and listen to, because there's two different types of hearing in a way. One is that there's a listening, you know, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I listen to you." And then there's another one where it says, "I heard you." You know, there's a listening and a hearing, and God is looking for what man wants to hear. One of the stories I would say that most of us are probably pretty familiar with is Mary and Martha. In particular, the one where they are with the dinner with Jesus. And Mary was listening to Martha Mary was listening to Jesus, and Martha was there making the dinner. And it was kind of like a Thanksgiving, I would say, is kind of how it was set up. But because she was so interested in what Jesus had to say, well, Mary was sitting there, but Martha was in there making the dinner, obviously. And so, you know, I could say that, you know, at my Thanksgiving, my mom is usually the one making all the dinner. She's doing all the running around. Everybody else is sitting down. She's still running around trying to make sure everybody's got what they need. And while everybody else is kind of, you know, focused on what everybody else is saying, it really does relieve us. But at the same time, if it was Jesus, you know, hopefully we would be more focused on what He's got to say, more so than food. In fact, you know, if you recall that when He was tempted by Satan, He says, you know, turn these stones to bread after He'd been hungry for 40 days. And He says, you know, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so hopefully we think more about what He has to say than even our physical needs. Now, so it brings me to my next point. At Thanksgiving, you know, what do we focus on? You know, what do we focus on? You know, is it the meal or the drinks or getting there on time? Or is it the family and the guest? You know, do we lose sometimes the meaning of what it was originally for? Because I've almost ventured to say that we do that with God sometimes. You know, we kind of get in this mindset where we're more relaxed and we don't really, we get things distracted in front of us, you know. especially like if you're like, oh no, my food is not warm. You know, I cooked it and I brought it here, but I forgot to zip it up and at one spot, so all the heat's gone out, and now nobody's going to like my food. Instead of going there and thinking, you know what, it's okay. I can probably heat it up in the oven real quick anyway, and I can be here with family and enjoy their company because I don't get to see them as much. Maybe it's kind of like a family reunion that you do. But we need to focus on what we should be focusing on. And in God's terminologies, we need not to be distracted. We don't need to be in those type of situations. We need to keep our focus on Him. God asks His people many times to listen to Him. You can look through any of the Old Testament and look at the Israelites, and it's like time after time after time, they would come to Him and then they would leave Him. They would come to Him and then they would leave Him. I mean, personally, I used to think, how in the world could the Israelites, escaping from Egypt, see that He parted the waters, they were crossing over dry land, and see this mountain and have Him, you know, have thunder and smoke and lightning and all this different stuff going on up there, and knowing that God is there in presence, and then be like, oh, well, we could do a golden calf, or, well, we don't need Him anymore. Or they start complaining about, hey, what about, manna, why don't we get some meat up in here, you know? I could just see Him just complaining over and over, and I'm like, did you not just see what God did? did you miss that? But sad to say, we're the same kind of people. I mean, we see God's miracles every day. The fact that people are born is a miracle in itself. The fact that people survive some of the worst tragedies. Just the fact that people live in such a way of their everyday life that, you know, that are people that have said that they only have so long to live, but then live on for like 30 more years. You know, it's just crazy on some of these miracles that God does. And they're all around us. We just got to be paying attention to it. Let's see. Samuel, going back to thinking about that, you know, Samuel was always near to God. And, he was close to the speaker of God's voice. You know, he was there. He was always listening. He was always wanting to be there. To know what God had to say and to tell the people in return for that. So, being at church, you know, sometimes I just thought it was kind of weird because you're like, you know, sometimes I guess where it's just, you know, two or more gather, you think you could do it really small, but when you gather together and you're in a setting as I think we are in this loving, caring atmosphere, we get this boost of being together. And I think that's kind of what God wants. Because, see, we if you're like me, I feed off of other people. I kind of get this energy boost as I get around people. Because I hear a story or something that they're saying, then I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that reminds me of this. And then we just keep going back and forth. And I really enjoy that. My wife, not so much. She's an introvert, so she kind of stays more on the sidelines. But as far as a family, we all have our ways of connecting. We all have our ways of being together. And when we listen to one another and care about one another, we're caring for Christ. You know, if you remember that he's talking about the sheep and the goats, and how he separates them, and he's like, you know, if you've done these to the least of my brothers, then you've done it for me. And they're like, well, when did we do that? He's like, obviously, you know, here when you were paying attention, when you went to jail, when you went to go see these people that were my followers. He goes, when you did it to them, you did it to me. And so being near to the church, being in His presence, it's how we can get near to God. Also, like I said earlier, whenever two or more gather, He says, there I am also. So when we gather, we actually get to be in the presence of God, which is nerve-wracking, especially if you're the preacher, because then you have to worry about, you know, making sure that you say everything that He would want you to say. Because trust me, these are hopefully not my words. These are straight off of Scripture. But to be closer to God. One of the things that I think about in the Bible when we think about being closer to God is I think of little Zacchaeus. You know, I think in it's if you want to go there, it's in Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. But it's Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. And this is what it says. It's talking about Jesus. He says, He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax chief collector. And was very rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on the account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. And so when he ran on ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, and for he was about to pass through. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up, and he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried and came down and received joyfully. And when he saw, when they saw it, they all started grumbling and said that he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods that I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, and since also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And so I just think of getting his attention. You know, being up in a tree, you know, even being at small stature, you know, he was wanting to be seen. He wanted to know who this Jesus was. He was active in his role of trying to get to Jesus, to be close, to hear what he had to see, just to see him. We can also see that, you know, that Jesus himself, when he was growing up, grew in favor and stature with God and then with men. And so I would say, how are you growing? Are we growing in stature with God? Are we growing in such a way that we're never satisfied unless we were able to be around God's people and his word? Are we growing in such a way that life itself is not worth living unless we can be talking about Christ to others and trying to help other people and get to know him? Because I hope so. I hope that we're growing in stronger and not weaker. And what's even better is when you come here, we get to grow in the presence of God. There was three times Samuel was ministering and serving. And basically, he was always trying to hear what God would say so he could serve them. And he would speak for the Lord, and he's, you know, said for his servant, he goes, "Here I am." There are many times that there's somewhere in the Bible where it says, "Here I am," or "Send me, I will go." And there's these action, these people that are listening, these people that want to know where God is placing them, and they want to go there. And like, again, I would like to ask you, you know, are we into such a way that we're listening to God's word and listening to what the needs are around us as a family, that we are able to go when he asks? You know, when I think of Brandon, I always think about him going to Cambodia and all these different things. I mean, there's no doubt to me that, you know, he came back for a short time from Cambodia, and then he's gone again. I mean, you could just tell that he has that passion. He knows that's where he needs to be. And he, you know, I'm sure it's not the most comfortable place. You know, I'm sure it's not, you know, got the best air conditioning in it or any kind of thing to keep him comfortable. But he goes out of despite of what he's receiving back. He's going because he's wanting to receive for God. He's wanting to just receive these lost souls. And he feels that there's a purpose. There's a plan for him over in Cambodia. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't miss him. Obviously, I do. But what he's doing over there is fantastic. That doesn't mean that you have to get up and you have to go find some place far away from here to do that. And I think Reach is a perfect example of such things. Because, you know, we can see the beautifulness of Reach and what it's done for this church and what it does for just being this part of this family. You know, I'm very proud of these guys over here. We know Dominique just left to go to the Air Force. And, you know, thinking about, you know, having to throw him out several times because he was misbehaving, you know, and telling me he can't come back for a while. And then now he's going and serving our country, and with the love of the Lord, we sent him off, you know. It's a blessing. It truly is. And I think we are supposed to serve God. And in such a way that we are listening and hearing what he has to say. And so I would say, much like Zacchaeus climbed that tree, we need to get God's attention. We need to hear what he's saying. Be like, "Lord, I'm here. What can I do? Send me. I will go." Anything that we can do to get God's attention in such a way to serve him is a beautiful thing, and I think he will honor that. And so I would ask you today, if you want to come serve God, then come as we stand and sing.